as we've been trying to do, go through some of the parts of the Haggadah. So I want to go through a part we're all very familiar with, which are the four sons. I have it to you. It looks like this one, this sheet over here. So it has the discussion of the four sons. Read together. Chacham, we know there's a Chacham, there's a Rasha, there's a Tam, and the Ein Yodei Lishol. So what does the Chacham say? We'll read the words, we understand them. Chacham Ma'al Omer, what does the Chacham say? Ma'ilus v'achukim ha'mishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu etzchem. What are these testimonies and statutes and laws that Hashem, our God, has commanded you? You also respond to him in turn regarding the rules of Pesach. You want to answer his question, and you tell him, "Ein maftir nachar Pesach avikomen." There is nothing happening after the avikomen. It's the last thing that person should be eating. That's what the chacham questions. That's how you answer the chacham's question. Yeah. Good. What does the answer even mean? What is his answer about what is the avikomen? Why is that a response to what are all these law, testimonies and statutes and laws? Why is avikomen the answer to that question? So if it was me right now on the board, I'll write down that question as to how is that a response to the Chacham's question. The next one we have is the Rasha. Rasha Ma'av Omer, what does Rasha say? He says, Ma'av Adoz Lachem, what does this work to you? Lachem below low, to you, but not to him. He's excluding himself from that group. Ulefisho, Tzias Asim Naklal, because he's excluding himself from the group, Kafir Bikri, he's now become a rejecter of the main basic tenets of religion. Vafata Hakeh Shinav, and there, and you too in turn should weaken his teeth. Hakeh Shinav, you should bust his teeth and say to him, Amor lo, b'avorz asa Hashem li b'teis Mitzrayim. This is why Hashem did for me when I left Mitzrayim, leave below low. Me, but not for him. Not for him. Ilu hay Hashem lo hay nigal. Had he been there, he would not be redeemed. Any questions in this at all? Any questions? So I'll ask you some questions. Yeah. What's that?
When you, like, say you walk into your family having a dinner, what are you guys doing? It's not like, what are we doing? It's like, that's very normal.
I mean, it doesn't sound disrespectful to say it.
Very
so Max will say the word, Lachem, Mazos Lachem. Now the truth is, though, that at the time, this was going on in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Meaning, while he was in Yetzias Mitzrayim, like, that's a Lashon recorded from the Pasuk while we were there. What's this have to do with you? So as if he was there and he was saying you, but even more than what Max is saying, Lachem doesn't seem to be a negative word. If you look at the Chacham, he said the words also, Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. How come the Chacham and the Rasha are distinguished between them? Eschem, Lachem, it sounds pretty similar to each other. Why are we calling out the Rasha and not the Chacham for that? Yeah, AJ, what are you going to say?
Other Rushas were redeemed, so why
would say? Great question. Why are we accusing the Rasha? You wouldn't have been redeemed because he was a Rasha, but the truth is that other Rushas were redeemed as well. Dasan Vaviram were redeemed, we know. There's many people in the rebellions of Korach. The Erev Rav came along with us. Many Rishonim seem to make it out. So what, he wouldn't have been redeemed? What does that even mean, wouldn't be redeemed? Questions on the board, right? Okay. Also, it's strange. You don't even talk to him. If you look over here, it says, V'amar lo, my voice says, leave, but says, I'm leave, lo, lo. You, me, and not him. You're talking to him, aren't you? Shouldn't it be me and not you? Shouldn't it be me and not you? What does it mean, me and not him? Had he been there, he wouldn't be redeemed. What do you mean? He's right in front of you. You're talking to him right now. Why are you talking to him in third person? Okay. Tom, Ma'u Omer.
He's already like separated from the Jews.
Okay, so we'll give an answer. We'll give answers. Yeah, we'll give questions. We'll get answers maybe soon. We'll see the answer. Tom, what did Tom say? What does the Tom say? Mazos, what is this? You say back to him, you respond back to him with great strength. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim from the house of slavery. Anything bother you about that? We're good with that one? Tom? Okay. The last one, Ein Delishol, the one who doesn't know what to ask, so Ap Sachlo, so you should open for him. And Shemar, you should say to him, V'yigad l'bincha v'yom hu'le mor, you tell your children this day, saying, B'vor z'asa Hashem li b'teis Mitzrayim. For this, Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. Any questions while you about that?
Took me, not you. Why did he say took
us? Okay, good. Well, that's a quote of a pasuk, though. It's a quote of a pasuk. Like, so even more than that, I'll just add to Max's question, that pasuk is the same pasuk the Rasha quotes also. Look at the Rasha's pasuk. You give mochas. Same pasuk we quote for the Rasha. Why am I using the pasuk for the Rasha for the poor? You know, he doesn't know how to ask questions. Why am I asking a question to him and commenting him negatively and lumping him together with the Rasha? Also, the word at. At is, what kind of word is that? It's a feminine. Why are we doing feminine over here? Meaning, up till now we've been talking pretty masculine. Why are we going feminine on the poor Eilei Lishol? But what happened? Why, he's a girl? We're treating him like a girl? What happened to that? Okay, so these are a lot of questions we can ask, and we should be asking. If I had a board, I'd write them all down right now. I don't have a board, so I'm just going to tell you about them a little bit more, and we're going to analyze some pieces that are going to address some of the points. Yeah? Well, Mazos Mini, if you look in, again, if we look in the Pesukim, he's quoting in the Pasuk in the Haggadah. We quote a Pasuk in the Chumash. We quote a Pasuk in the Chumash, and Mazos is a reference to something that's found in the Chumash. He's borrowing that Lashon. What is this? What's going on over here? We're explaining an overall answer to that question he's asking. Yeah, exactly. So we're going to respond back to him. We have to say that's in a set. He said, why did I say that? Good. So Avi doesn't like the question. He doesn't like the answer to the question. He doesn't like the answer. It seems to be like we're really not addressing the true question, which is the more specifics of what's going on. We'll get to that point very soon. And an overall question that we should definitely ask is, if you looked at the four sons, is this an exhaustive list? What kind of list is this even? Think of the guys we have right now. How would you match up the four sons? Give me some suggestions. Is this an order of greatness? Is an order of partnering? Like, how do you match up the four sons? It's Chacham, Rasha, Tam, and Elishol.
Which means like eldest, youngest
kind of. Eldest, youngest, but this doesn't even have the age attachments to this. But it's an interesting point. Maybe we'll get back to that very soon. Maybe. Well, again, but just tell me what you think. What's the matchup? What do you think the matchup is supposed to be here? What's that?
Based on knowledge.
Okay, so. This over here seems to be a knowledge-based discussion, but the problem with that is, which one's not knowledge-based, seemingly? Russia.
No,
why does he have to be? He's wicked. Russia is a character trait, not a knowledge base. They sort of said...
No, he has knowledge.
Okay, so you're suggesting that a Russia, to be a Russia, you have to have knowledge to know like what to reject.
Yes, he knows.
Okay. Does he always he's less smart than a Chacham? Maybe he's best smart than a Chacham. Meaning, we don't know. That doesn't sound like... Not necessarily is it based on knowledge, because... A Russia, if he has knowledge to be a Russia, then maybe he's even more than a Chacham. Who knows? Meaning, it's hard to know how much knowledge a Russia even has. How much do they care? So you're saying the Chacham cares the most, Russia cares less, but it's still asking his questions. The Tom cares even less than that?
I feel like... The last one could technically care like more than the top of the season.
He doesn't even know anything to even ask. The Tom is a simple guy, so maybe he's just a new to the scene. Maybe he hears a lot. So again, this is a very hard. Yeah, Tomer.
Maybe there's like four types of people you have in society. Four types of like viewpoints in society.
So Tomer's taking a general like position of groups of people in society. Yeah, the guy is. Well, we're definitely missing people, I assume, right? We're missing people. I would assume we're missing. For example. Is the Chacham a good influence? What does the Chacham mean literally?
I don't know.
It could be. So we have a lot of questions. If you think at first glance, when I would have first looked at it, I would have thought, oh, Chacham Russia is like a, that would be like kind of like the opposite answer. But it's not really true. What's the opposite of a Chacham? A Tipesh means a smart guy, someone who's less smart. I don't say the word, but it's S-T-U-P-I-D. That would be the opposite of a Chacham, right? Like, I'll tell you an unbelievable story I heard the other day about he doesn't ask because he doesn't know how to ask. Ain't no yideh. He doesn't know how to ask. But I would have thought a Chacham and Tipesh. Russia would have been opposite to the tzaddik. Good, the tzaddik. Where's the tzaddik in our picture? How come he didn't make the cut? So it could be. It could be ages. Someone said, who said before ages? Who said before ages? Is it very interesting? We'll get to that very soon. Before I get to that, I spelled out something. I didn't say the word. I said S-U-P-D. I want to tell you a story I heard last night. Unbelievable story I heard last night from one of my people I learned with. And it's to me, it would be a life changer just alone. I was talking about, I don't say the word S-U-P-I-D. A mock in my family shouldn't say such things. So it's not a curse word, but it's a word that's like beneath some of us. We should be better than that. So I heard this guy talking to me yesterday. He's about my age, maybe a year or two younger than me. And he told me that his wife's life was saved because of Lashon Naki. Because their family is very makbid to speak in proper words, not to say any inappropriate words. He told me the following story over. This part I happen to know, but I didn't realize the background behind it. His wife at the age of like 36, I mean, about 5 years ago, 35, 36, healthy woman, you know, she exercised, you know, she wasn't heavy or anything like that. And she had a stroke, like a very serious stroke, and she almost died. She had like a hemorrhage in her brain. Now, how come she didn't pass away? What happened? So they had gone on a very long trip together, the whole family. It was during the time of Elul, and they were on vacation. They went on a very, very long trip together. And while they're on the trip, when they finally, you know, got home, it was like exhausting, you know, ride. And the father is busy schlepping. There's a lot of kids in the family. The father's schlepping bags, boom, boom, boom. And the mother, you know, one of the kids comes back to help the father. And he says to the father, oh, I want to help you. Mom said, why is Abba schlepping things like a dog? Why is he schlepping like a dog? Husband says to himself, what? My wife never talks that way. She never says something like a dog. It's inappropriate to say. My wife would never talk that way. He goes in, walks into the kitchen, sees her with a bottle in her hand, and he looks at her, and she looks at him, and she collapses. And he catches her midair, calls Hatzalah, they go straight to the hospital, and she had like a brain hemorrhage, and they saved her life. Now, because she never speaks that way, I'm not saying she drops a word that we would never even, like, even give a letter of it in front of the kotel. So she doesn't say the word like a dog. She wouldn't speak in such like a low way. And then he was able to be sensitive, but that's not how she talks. Something's wrong. He walked in to ask her, what did you say? And he sees her having like a stroke right in front of his eyes and saves her life and gets there right in time to be able to call right away. Lashon Nikiyah is so chashav, so important to speak appropriately. You don't say words that, again, I'm not talking about curse words even. I'm talking about just speaking like a mensch. There was one time I heard a story, I may have told it to you in the past, but I'll tell it to you again. Rav Pam, I think I told it to you, Rav Pam and Torah Badas, he one time gave his list of, you know, you guys are B'nai Torah now, you're coming back from yeshiva, everyone who knows you, who hasn't seen you in a long time, wants to see, what do you like now? And that poses interesting questions, you know, is he going to hug me? You know, am I going to be able to, like, does he still want to go hang out with the same place we used to hang out together? And the end of our shul, we'll get back to that point in a few minutes from now. You know, what's he like now? So part of it's speech. What does he say? What words does he say? They should be able to see how you act and how you speak. That you're a different person. That you have a different attitude. That you have a connection. You're a sincere and kinder person. Should be like written on your faces. It should be so obvious and evident. When they watch you daven, they see that you're machmir for minyanim. You won't sleep through anything at all. It means too much for you to wait. Even if you don't get to make it every minute over here in America, push it. Get every minute. Push it. It's not a question even. That's the baseline of any serious ben Torah. Certainly, boy goes to yeshiva. It's a baseline. You know, you shouldn't be asking the question, well, how am I going to make it? Of course you go to a minyan. It's not like you do everything you can. That's the first thing you work on is what minyan am I going to be staying and which minyan am I going to go to every single day. And learning even comes after that, I would say. A minyan is the most important thing, especially when we come back home. People watch us. Anyways, Rav Pam one time spoke from the pulpit, and in his speech he said there are 20 words that a ben Torah should never say. I think I mentioned it in the past, but I'll tell you anyways again. He didn't give the list that you and I might have given, the words that you can't say on television. He didn't give that list. Give a list of things, and in one of them, I'm sure he said the word S-C-U-P-I-D. I'm sure he said that word. I didn't know what it. But one heard a word I heard he said, and I heard a person who was there told me the story. Just remember the word whatchamacallit. Whatever the word whatchamacallit. So whatchamacallit. It's not like, but now again, that was like a chocolate bar. It wasn't a bad word. Whatchamacallit. So he said whatchamacallit means that you haven't thought out. Whatchamacallit again means you haven't thought out what you're going to say. I mean, you brand it, you have a weapon, it's called your mouth. It says, Achayim Abbas Biyad HaLashon. You can kill people with your mouth. You make one nasty comment and the person is broken over that. And you can lift people up to great heights with your mouth. You make a compliment to someone. You say something beautiful to them. They feel so good about themselves. To have a mouth and a weapon like that, and to say the word watch and call, which shows you haven't thought things out before you spoke, it's irresponsible. And again, the person I mentioned in the past, I'll remind you again also, who I've seen in my life, who's so careful with that, is Rav Tversky. He won't speak. He won't speak without thinking for like literally a minute or two before he even figures out what sentence he wants to tell you. Because someone who values their lashon so much, Chaim must be out of lashon. You know, the idea of Isha Chavetz Chaim, who's a person who wants to love life, who values life. So it says in the Sefer Shulchan Aruch, you be careful how you speak. You be careful what you say. That's the most important thing in life, is how you speak to other people. You can't get upset with people. And if you do, you gotta bite your tongue. It's so valuable. So here we are right now, we're discussing and shmoozing all about these four individuals. I want to analyze some suggestions about what the order is of these four individuals. We'll start with the sheet I gave you just now. The second paragraph, the sheet I gave you just now. Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha. Look over here at the sheet that has on it again the four we just mentioned. It says Makdim Machacham V'Achakach Hefech Shlo. Shua Rasha. This is quoted in the Maral over here. This is Haggadah Berurah. That's where this one's from. This part. I'm sorry for bringing it up when it gets out of print. I apologize for rubbing it in, but it's a great Haggadah. If you can find it, it should be gettable. Even though they say it's not, it should be gettable. Maktim, the Chacham comes first, and then afterwards the opposite of the Chacham, which is the Rasha. Now again, that's not how I would have thought. Why is it opposite? Ki afachim yesh lehem yediyah achas. People who are opposite each other have the same level of ability. You couldn't have an opposite. Let's say again, assuming the Chacham Rasha, he suggests like you guys did, that it's a level of piety or a level of knowledge. So Chacham's opposite has to be someone who's his like his counter, his opposite. And therefore, it's not an issue, it's not a list over here of who goes in what order. It's really the Chacham and the Rasha have to be on each other because they're the two opposites of the same coin. People who are knowledgeable, who have passion to them, and then at the end of the day, a person is able to pick his side he wants to. As a matter of fact, the opposite of, I mentioned in the past, the opposite of love is not indifference. It's not hate, it's indifference. Because really, love and hate are two people who feel very, very strongly about something. Picture you watching a soccer match, or a football match, we'll call it. And it's you versus someone else who likes the other team. So you're both like riled up and excited, and you're really very similar, just rooting for different teams. But imagine you're on a date with a girl, and she couldn't care less about soccer, football. She couldn't care less about it. She's in there watching, and someone scores, she just sits in her chair. She doesn't care at all. You're much more different than she is. You're much more like the guy who's on the other team. You know, they say Rivka. When Rivka was having children, she was having, I mentioned this in the Shmooze one time, she was having, you know, what she thought was one child who was jumping at Avodah Zarah and at the base of Medrash of Sheva Avery. I don't know if anyone saw it over here, but thank you on that walking tour. So where I was staying was right next to Sheva Avery. I went to the mikveh right next to Sheva Avery's base of Medrash, where Sheva Avery apparently had the cave existed in Tzvas, right down the block from like a 30-second walk where I was sleeping. There's a whole like hole in the wall there in a cave. I went there on Shabbos day to the yeshiva of Sheva Avery. I went inside. It was locked every Shabbos, but it was open on Shabbos afternoon. There's a mikveh right next to it where I went to the mikveh right next to the yeshiva Sheva Avery, which is unbelievable. Tzvas. Anyways, Rivka went to ask Sheva Avery, the base manager there, what's with this kid I have? Lama Zanochi, what do I have this kid for even? It seems to be a waste of my child. And she was told, no, you're going to have two kids. They're going to hate each other, but you have two kids in the end. So, and she was very comforted by that. Now, why is that comforting? You'd imagine having twins who are going to hate each other and beat each other's throat for the rest of their lives, like Esav and Yaakov were, that shouldn't be comforting. That should be troubling as a parent of twins. Who else has anyone has a twin? Someone's got twins? No one else has a twin in their family? Or you're a twin, your brother's a twin. So you can imagine, like, a parent's worst nightmare is twin-like animosity between brothers, and especially twins. That's terrible. Why was she comforted? Because the two choices were that she had twins that hated each other and would have passion, or she had one kid who just was like a player. Yeah, that's good. That's chill. I'm chill with that. That's the worst thing to have. The opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. If someone doesn't care at all, so then Lama Zanochi, what do I need to have a kid who doesn't care at all? Yeah, I'm fine with that. You should feel strongly about lots of things. Careful how you comment on them. Be careful how you disagree with people. But you should be very passionate about many, many things in life. So Chacham and Rosh are really two sides of the same coin. They have a tremendous amount of passion, yeah. It's a good question. It's a good question. So this is the Maharal. Maharal suggests these are two sides, opposite sides of the same coin. So really, you and I could, a Chacham could be a Rasha also. You could be right and a terrible person. But according to Maharal, the way he Maharal understands it, it's one of the same like attitude and behavior. But you're right, you could argue that. And then after you get to the Chacham Rasha, where two sides of the same coin, just the good side and the bad side of that coin, then according to Maharal, then he says, V'achakach Zacham, and afterwards they're mentioned in order of, I guess, knowledge or greatness. So you have the Chacham, and then his opposite next to him, the Rasha. And then you have the Tam, one level down. Tei Lishol, the next level down. That's how the Maharal explains it. But the Gra has a very different shot. The Gra says there actually are opposites here. Look at the next piece right underneath that one I just read to you. Chacham hu Talmid Chacham. He's a wise man. Vahibuch menu hu Mishainu Lishol. Look at this interesting order he has. He has the Chacham, who is a Talmid Chacham, and his opposite is the last person on their list. In Lishol, that's the opposite. It's based on wisdom. You have a wise man, the wisest, and you have the least wise. You can't even ask a question yourself. And in the middle you have Vatam who aholech b'tmimus. Vatam is someone who walks with, what's tmimus mean? What's tmimus? What's that? Not plain so much, but I would say like more like innocence. He's an ishtam. Yaakov was called an ishtam yoshev olim. Innocence. Doesn't mean he doesn't know anything. It means he's so pure in his action. The opposite of that is the Rasha. So he has the extreme knowledge base, the Chacham versus Enei Lishol, that's the extreme knowledge base on each end. And in the middle, he has the extreme behavior base, the righteousness, the piety. The Tam is the biggest tzaddik. That's the Tam. He's a tzaddik. His opposite is the Rasha. But it's not Chacham versus Rasha, like the Maharal want to say. It's Chacham versus Enei Lishol. It's a wisdom-based discussion. It makes it a little easier to understand that point. And the other two are behavioral issues. Who's better behaved? Well, you have the Rasha versus the Tam. The Tam's a tzaddik. Yaakov was an ish tam yoshev olim. What does it mean to be a Tam? What does it mean to be a Tam? So look over here if you can at the sheet I gave you. Tam is like someone who's very pure. Pure.
Based on the question you've given me as a knowledge,
Well, yeah, I mean more than enough. Look over here, the back of the sheet, the top source on the right side, the back of the sheet. So over here, regarding the Tam, he says the following. He says, "Kan mashma." Over here, it's implied, "Shatam ain't a muvchar shabbanim." That the Tam is not this. Again, but this is right now. I'm reading from a gada called Arze Alvanon, where I mentioned to you the quote, some of the gedolim of the last generation. This one is in quote Moshe Feinstein. It's a big, thick red one. At least what I have is red. I'm sure they're all red, but there's also an English version called Sears of Lebanon. But it's an excellent Haggadah. It's not as based on the Haggadah directly. It's more like thoughts that we extract from the Haggadah. But it's a beautiful idea. We'll read one right now together. He says, again, this one's from Moshe Feinstein, is the source for this idea. He says, here it's Masha that the Tam is not the best of the Banim. Shari Manuhu Achra Ben Arusha, because he's counted after the Ben Arusha. Lifnei Ben Arusha Eid Edishol. And he's before the last one, the one who can't ask any questions at all. But by Yaakov, who is the Bechir Avos, what's Bechir mean? Like Bechir Chavshis, Bechir? He was a chosen. He was a chosen of all the, right now on the top, this one. He's the Bechir of the Avos, the chosen of all the Avos. It calls him Yishtam. It should be the greatest. It should be even more than the Ben Achachem. He should be even the higher list. So why is he on the lower list? So here he says the following. You can have a Tam, or you can have a Tam. Tam number one is the guy who's innocent and pure, and whatever you tell him to do, he's going to do. Whatever you tell him to do. You have Tom number two, who's just like an ignorant person. You know, he knows, he just doesn't care so much. Yeah, well, you know, whatever works for you is really fine with me. Those are the two levels that we have of a Tom. Okay, if you look at the sheet, one paragraph down now, in that same sheet, that same source, it says, look at the second line in that paragraph. Moshe Feinstein writes, "Well, Yaakov Avinu Shaya Yosef O'alim, Chacham U'Pikeach," who was very, very bright, very wise. "The Im Kol Zos Asa Kol B'Tmimus U'Lo Hischachmus." He learned everything. He studied everything. At the end of the day, he did it because Hashem said so. That's why he did it. Not because I understand. Not because it makes sense to me. Because God said so. Look over here in the Gemara. Look at a few lines down now. It says over here, it says, look at the bracketed part a few lines down. It says, for the end of the paragraph, "Val Derech Zeh." It says in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, that Tez Zion, and over here he quotes his Gemara, Tez Zion Aleph, "Lama Tokin Rosh Hashanah." Why do we blow shofar from Rosh Hashanah time? Why do we blow shofar? But Tamahu. Tamahu means what? We were bothered by this. We were perplexed. We were bothered. So the Gemara says, "But Tamahu, Lama Tokin." What do you mean, why do we blow? Why are we blowing shofar? Rachmana Amar Taku. Rachmana says blow shofar. What do you mean, why are you blowing shofar? The Torah says blow shofar. So the Maharshal writes there in a tshuva. He brings quotes to the Eli Rab Mishnah Berurah. "The Milanu Gadol Mirav Shimon Mikinon Sha'achar Shalom Kabbalah." He learned Kabbalah, he would still daven like a Tinuk Ben Yomo. Which means that at the end of the day, everything that you're going to learn, whatever you learn at the end of the day, the reason why you do things that you do is because Hashem said so. That's why you do it. You don't do things that doesn't make sense to you. It's not a religion based upon what makes the most sense to us. We do because this is what, because Baruch Hu said for us to do. In life, very often, you and I will look at a situation, a scenario, and decide, I don't see that. I don't hear that. You know, I don't hear that. I don't see that. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm not going to do that. This one doesn't speak my language. I don't appreciate that law. So let's have that attitude. We have this attitude of, why do I have to do that? A Tam is someone who learns. He might even be less with a question mark. And at the end, he goes weiter. Because Baruch Hu said so, I'll do it. I've told this story in the past, I think, but I'll tell it again. And it's certainly good for those of you who go to Poland. If I was going to Poland with you, I would tell it myself, but I'm not, so this will count. I think this is brought down in one of Elie Wiesel's books, I forget which one it is. When the Jews, after the Holocaust was finished, and the Jews were still in the DP camp, and they were still trying to get their bearings and kind of come, you know, become human again. So that they put God on trial for crimes against humanity. And they put God on trial, and they had witnesses, and they had lawyers defending God, you know, prosecuting God. This is a mock trial that they had. And in that trial, it wasn't everyone, it was like a few people, a few great leaders, big minds in the area, put God on quote-unquote trial. And they found in the end, the final scene was, they banged their gavel, and they say, "We find God guilty as charged of crimes against humanity." When the judges look at their watches, "Oh, one second, it's almost nightfall, we gotta go daven mincha." They all went to daven mincha afterwards. You know, we can have questions as much as we want to have questions about it. We can have any questions as you want. You can be bothered by things. Things might trouble us. But at the end of the day, Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. And Kadosh Baruch Hu, everything that he does, is we're supposed to follow. Does it make sense to me? Doesn't make sense to me. The greatest level you can get to is you study and you study, study at the end of the day, because God says that's why you do it. That's the reason why we do things. That's the greatest level of being a Tam. Our Tam over here, according to the Vilna Gaon, is the biggest, greatest level. So you have this, the rush of versus the Tam. The Chacham versus the end of the day Lishol. The Gro over here, which I told you earlier on, actually tells you why it's in that order. But we won't see that inside. Let's go, if we can, turn to the next page. The other page I gave you in front of you. We'll see one more of these. It's a very interesting question he asks, and he points out. Actually, no, we'll skip this one. I don't have time for this one. Skip this one, and we'll go back to the page we had earlier on. The page we're on right now. Sorry, the page we're on right now, number five. Sorry, you don't have five. Underneath the one I just read to you is the same Haggadah. It's by Rav Aaron Cutler, right over here. Same sheet. The source right underneath it, which is source, which is, again, it has in it. Same Haggadah, Haggadah Brura. Not Haggadah Brura, the Arzi Levanon. And it's quoting Rav Aaron Cutler. He points a very interesting thing. Read with me again for a second. Turn back to the other side for a quick second at the Rasha. It says, Rasha Ma'o Omer. He says, what's his avodah to you? Lachem lolo. This is his line. Ulefi shehotzi es atzmo min haklal, kafar b'ikar. What does that line mean literally? Because he separated himself from the group, he's rejected the main basic. What's that? To brood himself from the main tenets of Judaism. Anything bother you by that statement? Anything bother you? Read the statement again. Read the statement again of the Rasha. Something should bother you about that. If it's not nitpicky, it's like so obvious once you see it. It's like, what? Look at it again one more time. Look at what the Rasha says. Look at what he said about the Rasha. Lefisha hoti is aslam in a klal, kafar b'ikar. Because he took himself out of the group, he rejected the basic tenets of religion. Okay, that's a fair question, but excellent. It's the other way around. Shouldn't he first have a problem and then reject, then leave? Why'd he leave first and then reject? It should say, because he was covered by Iker, he was out of the cloud. That's what it should say. What do you mean? Oh, okay, good. So look at what Robert Cutler says. Again, we think right now someone has this philosophical challenge, and that's why they leave. He says it's not true. He says it's not true. There's nothing to leave for. You know, are you a humble person? Are you a human being? You're a finite person. We don't know the answers to a lot of things. We're not bothered by them. A doctor goes to you and says, take this medication. Are you like, excuse me, how does this work? I want to understand how it works. You know, who gave you schooling? I want to speak to him before I trust you. Are you kidding me? A doctor says, he gives you a pill. I'll take it. You know how many people, by the way, how many doctors recently, they came up with a big study. There was a doctor who was advising terrible advice for his patients. He was fine, like, there's now X amount of millions of dollars, because he made $40 million in the last X amount of years by giving his patients medication they didn't need. But we don't ever challenge the doctor. He's a doctor. I trust my doctor. You don't trust Kadosh Baruch Hu, the creator of the world? It's not true. We don't know intellectual challenge on God. What are you challenged by? He's infinite. You can't be challenged by, I don't understand him. That's normal. He's infinite. I'm finite. I don't understand if I went around to a class, you know, in a master's or in a doctorate in Harvard of like, you know, some of physics, I wouldn't understand the class either. I wouldn't be like, this whole physics thing is a sham. I don't understand physics. I don't understand, certainly on a high level in Harvard, a doctorate level, I wouldn't understand. And I'm humble and modest to understand that point. I wouldn't walk out and say this whole physics thing, you know, chuck in the garbage. I never learned physics again. It's wrong. I just don't understand things, and that's okay. Certainly when it comes to finite versus infinite, you don't understand things. So how can we reject God? This is what Ages just said. I want to reject God. I want to leave the faith, so I'll find a reason to reject. Look over here now, that piece I showed you before, and I started with you, Rav Aaron Cutler. It is, again, the Sefer God of Arzi Levano, on the bottom one we have in the page over here. Bilel Seder Dayek Marana Gon Rav Aaron Cutler. We don't say in the Russia, we should kafir be'ikr, hoti atzmo min haklal. We don't say because he was kofir be'ikr, that's why he took himself out of the cloud, which is the right way it should be, as Ages said. We say the hefech, why? Pisha hoti atzmo min haklal kafir be'ikr. Shekein kan gilulano ikar v'so. Here the Baal Haggadah, I think this is very, very, very important. Sheyehudi hu mamin b'yisodo. A Jew believes. We believe. In our heart of hearts, in our neshama, we believe. V'im kofer, harezeh mishum sheratzeh lo ti'atzeh min haklal. If we reject, because we don't want to be part of the group anymore, I want a reason to be out. V'aleches v'shurus libo, I want to do whatever I want to do in the end. The kfira is not because you have a real question. It becomes a solution for your problem, not want to be a real Jew. I'll never forget, there was a guy I was very close with in yeshiva, who went to Penn after 2 years in Eretz Yisrael learning intensely. And within the first semester, he was like kind of off already. He like rejected. And I was like shocked because he had worked very hard to become more inspired and more intense. Turns out about a year later, he came out of the closet. He was gay. So I understand. You have all these philosophical questions right now that come up later on because, you know, you can't be part of it. You don't want to be part of it anymore. And I understand. Again, I'm not excusing what he did. It's inappropriate. But it makes sense now why he'd find problems more than he used to find problems with. Because he was tired of fighting an inner demon that he was struggling with. And he said, you know what, if I'm going to do this, I can't be part of this anymore. Let me first have to leave the group in order to be Kofar Baker. I want to leave the group, so I'm Kofar Baker. But it did happen in the other way around. It's not that he found a problem and he couldn't sleep at night. It's because something bothered him. Something bothered him about him, and he didn't want to keep a law, so he found a problem with it. Yeah, AJ. Excellent. Very good. Very good. In many religions, if you would ask questions, they would give you take a ruler and pot you for it. Our entire learning is based on questions. People sometimes say, the Torah. Someone I met with recently said to me that the Torah, not a person that's in the yeshiva, that the Torah is maybe written by a person. And I said, we would be so careful not to let questions go, because any question by a human, if it was a human being that created it, you can find a flaw easily. No human being is perfect. But we embrace questions. We want questions. We ask for challenges. We believe that if you dig hard enough, you're going to see only truth. And even at the end of the day, we have these Rishonim who have a question, Tzarech Iyun, or Teku. It's not that Tzarech Iyun, this thing's wrong. It's that I don't understand it. I don't get it. I'm not sure how to make sense of it. But we're humble. We understand that we don't understand things sometimes. Just the final piece of the Haggadah, and I'll get to the last 8 minutes to give a quick little sicha, a little shmooze to you, based on what we said just now, and based on what Max said earlier on also, is an unbelievable pshat. This is found in the Haggadah, Hegyon HaLacha. I've quoted it many times to you already. It's the bottom one, same page we're on right now, but the bottom left side of the page. It says on top of it, I wrote the word Russia. It says, you should also weaken his teeth. Weaken his teeth. Below Amar, look over here again, the bottom, this one over here looks like this one. This is the piece, very small one, but a wild gematria. Wild gematria. Below Amar Balagada Hakeshinav. It doesn't say Hakeh with a chuff to damage them. Hakeh means to weaken his teeth. Lefisha Yesh Lechancha B'derech Tovim. Our job is not to reject him. We don't want to damage him and wound him. We want to educate him. So when he gets older, maybe some of the desires he has in his heart will kind of leave him, and he'll be able to be back to being the regular man she's supposed to be in the first place. And the Dorshei Gematrios say, listen, this is an unbelievable idea. Im tavchis milas shinav mimilas rasha tekabel tzadik. If you do the Gematria, you take the word Russia. He does it for you, 570. And you knock out the word, the gematria of Shinav from the word Russia, you're left with the gematria of the word Tzaddik. Shinav means his teeth. Again, it says by the Russia, it says about his teeth. It says by the Russia, it says, wound his teeth. Two. No, look how the Balagada spells it. Look how he spells it. See how it's written? So he spells it without the Yud. By the way, just so you know, this Russia over here, it's not the same Haggadah. So it's different Haggadah even. I mean, I'm not borrowing the Haggadah he actually used. I mean, this is Haggadah of the Hegyon HaLacha. This is the Haggadah of the Haggadah Brura. It's not that the guy put without a Yud because he wanted to prove his point. It's not even the same Haggadah. The Yud's not there. He doesn't have the Yud in the Baal Haggadah's version of it. So you see over here that you're not trying to take a Russia and just kick him out of the house. You're trying to work with him. How do you work with him? You wound his teeth. His teeth means his guard. His guard is... You know, you put a person it's like you can't get through. You want to wound his teeth. You want to knock out his guard. You want to say, what's the issue here? What are we fighting over? And you show him love. By the way, some people say that's why it says at p'tachlo. When it comes in initial, what's at? You, but it's a feminine. It's sweet. The mother is sweet. It's or some people say it means aleph through tough. You go from beginning aleph to the end to tough, but it could be sweet. You don't have to always come with confrontation. You don't have to come in with butting of heads. You come with love. You come with sugar. You come with honey. That's something that helps also. So we find over here, the Haggadah, the Baal Haggadah over here is telling us a very important lesson. You do not give up on anybody. No one is ever beyond the point of return. A Russia, we think is the worst of the sons, so what? Your job is to wound his guard. Take his guard, his shinav, remove them from the Russia. You left with a tzaddik. Deep down, every single person is a tzaddik. And that's our goal, is to, as an educator, it doesn't have to be a parent even. could be with a friend, could be with anybody. As an educator, you have the opportunity to be able to take someone who's hardened and frustrated. By the way, same thing with you guys. When you come home, people are going to look at you also. You're less from uncle. You know, your friend who didn't go to Israel. They're all going to look at you. And they're going to see how you react. If you're nasty and dismissive and condescending, then they're like, oh, so you know, you learned so much Torah. Look what you became in the end. You became this inappropriate, lack of disrespectful kid. Or you walk in, you smile at them. You know, how can I help you today? You're patient. You're polite. You don't do what they do. You don't go to the party with your friends necessarily, but you care enough to work with them. So that's hakeshin. You remove their attack upon you. I just want to end with one last thing, and this was what Max did earlier on, and I'll get to this, and we have 5 minutes left till we run for the covers. Run for cover, right under here, where the avalanche is sure to collapse this entire thing on top of us. What's that? Chill here. I like what Max said, and I think it's Emes. There's four stages of life, and I'll take you through them right now, I think. And by the way, we're in the middle of one of them right now. We're in the middle of them. Stage number one we have is we're a kid. In the Elishal. We don't know a thing. We can barely even talk. I'm talking now in the world of religion even. We don't know anything. We can barely even talk. In the Elishal, and that's what we have when we're an infant. We can't even ask questions. The job is that the mother brings you up, and the mother sweetens the deal, and everything is beautiful and caring and loving. That's stage number one. Then you get to stage number two, when you start to be able to ask, but you're still a very innocent guy. You're a Tom, first grader, second grader. You're sweet. You know, you're innocently inquisitive, and you're trying your hardest, and all of a sudden we get to our high school years. Maybe some of us start even earlier. Then we become a rush a little bit. We rebel. We're not so willing to do what my parents said to me. I'm not so willing to do that anymore. You know, why is it the case? Why do I have to do that? And we start to question. You're making me do this over here. This isn't about me, it's about you. You're making me do this. And all of a sudden we start to get very negative. And then we get, hopefully, to the time when we get to sit aside and say, let me just really analyze this properly. Let me become a chacham. I want to really make a decision in life. Let me become a chacham. And here we are right now, what we're doing this year. Trying to become a chacham. Trying to understand better. What is it about? I believe it. I had a rebellious stage. I kind of broke against, you know, my family's direction and their force of me. But then we get to a stage when we're better than that. We become a chacham. But now is the hard part. How does that stage last? You have two choices. You continue to become a chacham the rest of your life. Forever now, you are a chacham. You never leave the chacham status. You're constantly searching and connecting and working. I don't care where you are. I don't care if you're in Eretz Yisrael or in Yeshiva. I don't care if you are in America or in Canada or in England. I don't care where you are. But you're constantly looking for the next opportunity to develop. Or, stage of life. Check. I did my Yeshiva experience. On to the next thing. And you go back to, likely, if not a chacham, it's probably going to be the Russia. Because it's not going to be the Tom anymore. Because you're no longer innocent. You know too much. You're not illiterate. You definitely know how to ask. So therefore, right now, you have a two choice to pick in life. And right now, we're beginning a very important stage at that point, which is the first Benes Man that we really have after having sat in yeshiva and worked on ourselves. It's the first real Benes Man we're going to have. I'll share with you a quick story, and something that's very important for you to realize. I've seen all of you in your moments of greatness, in your learning and strong and doing beautifully, and how you did them, and how you looked, how your face looked. Now, I've seen many of you go through struggles and frustrations and challenges, and your face looks different. I've even told you guys in the past, many of you in this room have told you in the past, you look like something's wrong today. Your face looks different. I'm not a reader of face in general, but you can tell when a person is happy, a person is glowing, and a person is not. You can tell. So you're going to go on a Benes Man trip right now, and you can either be proud of yourselves, because you learned a little bit today, whatever it is that you decide how much it's going to be, because you kept away from bad things for yourself. Because you felt like you were still growing and helping other people out and developing and keeping it out of aim, and you feel good about yourselves. But you're going to come back feeling like a loser, like a bum, like what did I just do? How come I failed in that? And you feel very bad about yourself. I'll tell you a quick story, an unbelievable story, and with this I'll close. Oh my gosh, there's pressure. Hope I can get it done. I won't get it done in a minute, but I'll try my hardest. There was this boy, he lived in Dallas, Texas. He went to a prep school, non-Jewish prep school. He's a very, very talented and capable person, very knowledgeable. But his boys he hung with back in high school were these, non-Jews. They weren't Jewish. The summer between Shana Aleph and Shana Bet, he went to Shana Bet. Summer between Shana Aleph and Shana Bet, he worked at a gifted and talented camp in the area. People were very bright, and there were younger kids. He was one of the counselors there. And sure enough, one day he's watching. He's going through the Benes Manim, his own struggles, his own issues, whatever. And he goes and he sees a boy and a girl sitting next to each other. Two what he thinks are non-Jews. One's in like fourth grade, and one's in fifth grade. Fifth grade boy goes to fourth grade girl, says, one Shabbat sandwich. You know, it's a delicious ham and cheese sandwich. So so the girl says back to him, until you hear we're good, until we hear it. The girl says back to him, nah, I can't. You know, I'm Jewish. I don't eat ham and cheese. I'm Jewish. So he goes, sir, you've never had ham and cheese in your life? She goes, no. So the guy says to her, psh, you don't know what you're missing. And the girl says back to him, you don't know what you're missing. That's why he gets in talent. He's fourth grader, gets in talent. That's a great line, right? Sure enough, that Moshe Shabbos, and this guy's like, wow, that's good. Moshe Shabbos, one of his friends, called him on the phone, one of his boys back from back in the day, and he says, Josh, we're all going out together tonight. We're going to have a great time. So visit the old sites a little bit. Maybe come back from Israel. It's time to let your hair back down a little bit. Maybe we'll hang out. And the guy's like, I don't know. I'm not sure. Come on, Josh. Don't be a spoil sport. We're all the boys get back together again. We'll have a great time. Well, you know, we won't do anything crazy. And he's about to say yes. And he says to him, Josh, you don't know what you're missing. And he hears the fourth grade girl's voice in his mind. And he remembers, what do you mean? If I do this, then I'm missing. I'm going to be missing what I'm working out right now. I'm missing. And that would be a terrible mistake to make. And he gets the courage and he says, he doesn't say to them, you know what you're missing. He just says, nah, I really can't make it tonight. And he's avoided that issue and he came back on momentum. Felt good about himself. You're all going to be going through a Ben Azmanim right now. Some of you will be in yeshiva. Some of you will be at home. Some of you have a learning part of your life. Some of you won't have a learning part of your life. It doesn't matter what you are. But every person right now has the opportunity to continue momentum building. And Ben Azmanim is a time for you to even see how you, to kind of do a checklist. How are you doing? How are you holding up? Are you doing well? Are you struggling? To be able to really work on yourselves. As we go, what's that? Oh, that's it. Oh. As we go right now, we're about to go and have an alarm sound. It means there's an avalanche that's not really going to happen. The truth is, that's a really important lesson. It's an avalanche, something that could be real for us also. An avalanche means that everything is caving in on you. We're about to go, leave yeshiva. And those things are going to cave in on you. Differences are going to come up and things are going to arise. And you have to figure out, how am I going to handle those things? We're going to take a few minutes after this, assuming the siren goes, and daven at the kosel. We have to leave here by 11:15 to head back to yeshiva so we can get back by the shmuz. Go daven. Whatever you have in mind for yourself, whatever you're worried about, whatever you wish for, right now still the kotel could be a better place for you to daven. We should all be able to daven for what's the most important things in life, have clarity in our lives, and Hashem should have a successful, if those go to Poland, have a meaningful trip to Poland, successful Ben Azmanim to come here with excitement and fire, ready to take on the next part of our year. Have a great Shabbos and Chag Kosher V'Sameach.